Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Spiritual Sense Life. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back to our Spiritual Sense Life radio show. And hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day this day. And we just want to welcome you family back. And we just want to take this time out to say that we're grateful for you all being here. We do apologize for the delay, but nonetheless, we are here. And we're here to give you a word. Today we're going to be dealing with Revelations chapter 3, the last church. We've been through all seven churches now. Today will be the church of Laodicea, which is the last church in which we're going to get into. So without further delay, we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. We're going to also read the scriptures of love, which is from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. And so, family, again, I'm glad that you're all back for another Daily Bread sermon. And hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful week and an even better day. And hopefully you've all enjoyed this nice sunny Sabbath or sunny Saturday day. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and read the scriptures, and then we're going to say a quick prayer. We're going to go ahead and jump right in it. So 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 reads, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity." Charity meaning love. Amen. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this day. We thank you for life itself. We thank you for your greatness, and we thank you for your love. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you for redeeming us, dear Heavenly Father, back to you through your Son, dear Heavenly Father Christ. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, the keeper, the teacher, and the guide. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We come thanking you for our eternal salvation, and we come praying for more salvation and deliverance, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for your word, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for our eternal salvation and redeeming us and blessing us with the greatest gift that you can give to mankind, which is eternal life. We thank you for restoring us and our relationship back to you, Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right, family. So hopefully everything is going wonderful and great with you all. It's been a blessed and wonderful week down here in Texas. It's nice, hot, and sunny, just like I like it. It's been real nice with some exceptions of some thunderstorms and some cloudy days, but those are also beautiful days because we know that sometimes we need to cool off a little bit and enjoy some nice warm weather. Amen. So hopefully, family, you are all staying safe. I just want to remind each and every one of you to make sure that we are praying for those families and those individuals out there that have been affected by this pandemic. Maybe at some point we are all affected in some way or another. But make sure that we're praying for one another, because the world really needs it right now, especially those that have lost loved ones due to this pandemic and the things that are going on in the world. So make sure we are prayerful for those that have lost loved ones in 2020, regardless of how they have lost their loved ones. Make sure that we are prayerful and that we are make sure we're showing some empathy and sympathy to those that have been affected. So we're praying for you all as believers. And we're also praying for the unbelievers as well. We're mostly praying that they also receive salvation, those that have yet to believe, because remember, at some point in time in our life, that we were unbelievers as well. So remember that we are praying for the Heavenly Father's grace and His mercy. None of us are better than the other. So remember, amen, that we are. We want them to become saved as well. We don't want them to miss this glory-bound train that's coming. We want you to be saved. We don't want you to be here during the great tribulation. We don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be in hell or the lake of fire. We want you to be living with us in the eternities. Amen. Because we know that serving the Heavenly Father for all eternity is not grievous. Some people must think that it's going to be a grievous thing that we are serving Him for all eternity. Remember, you're not going to be a slave. Okay, so let's make that clear. Amen. Amen. So think about Adam when he was in the garden. Adam wasn't a slave. Amen. He gave Adam free reign. And all Adam had to do was just obey his laws. Don't eat of these fruits. Amen. And he was serving the Most High just by being himself, just by being Adam. Amen. So remember, man, the eternity, your eternal life is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be something that you just can't wrap your mind around. And then the thing that you're going to get to enjoy the Most High, you're going to get to enjoy heaven and all your gifts for all eternity. No one's going to bother you. No one's going to stress you out. No one's going to depress you. No one's going to pressure you. You're not going to worry about a job or getting up going and listening to someone, you know, say do this or do that or tell you what to do ever again. Amen. You're going to have free reign to live and serve the Heavenly Father for all eternity. Remember, eternal life and salvation is not grievous. Amen. We're not slaves. You do it because of the love, amen. We do it because we love Him and because He what? First loved us, amen. It's just like a parent to a child, amen. That baby loves his mother because why? The mother shows that baby love even before the baby was born, amen. So even before you even came into existence, your Heavenly Father loved you and He thought about you, amen. And that's why we love Him back, because He loves us so much, amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into Revelations, the third chapter, and it's going to begin in verse 14. This is the church of Laodicea. This is the seventh church, amen, the last church. We made it, amen. We made it through the seven churches. This is the first portion of Revelation. If you remember early on in my teachings of Revelation, how I told you that that the first chapter, first, second, and third chapter of Revelation are past and present. Amen. It's past through present. So when Christ, Yeshua, gave John the message to give to the seven churches, amen, he was writing to the churches at that time in John's time, amen. But it was also meant for the churches throughout the church age, amen. So we are in the church age. We are in the grace administration. We are in the church age. So we are waiting for the great mystery, amen, that Paul talked about, which was the return of Christ, amen. Do we know when He's going to come back? No, we don't know when He's going to come back, amen. He can come back this very second, or He can come back 100 years from now. However, irregardless of when He comes back, amen, amen, we want you to be ready for when He comes. The Bible says to watch. Are we to watch? I'll watch for Him every single day of my life. I've been looking for Christ to return. Amen. If you remember back in the books, amen. They talked about when Acts, when he ascended up, they was gazing up at him. Amen. Amen. And then, you know, they said, you know, he's going to return in this same like manner. Amen. I'm just paraphrasing. Amen. Because I don't want to have to run over to the scripture and give it to you. Now I can go through a lot of scriptures, but I just want to paraphrase for you. And that's how he's going to return. He's going to come down out of the heavens, out of the clouds, but he's going to come back with his angels, and he's going to return to get the church. And so that's what we're waiting for. And the Bible says we are to watch. And he says that. Christ said himself, watch. He said, make sure that you're watching. What are we watching for? We're waiting for him to return. So it doesn't matter if he returns or not in our lifetime. You are to watch every day for him. which means that you are ready, amen, because if you're not watching, that means that you're not expecting him. You're not ready for the return of Christ, amen, because we don't love this world, amen. We're not attached to his worldly possessions and the worldly things. We are looking for Christ's return because we know that he loves us. Amen. I know my name is written in the book of life. I want your name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. So, hey, as I told you before, you're going to spend more time in eternity than you are in this natural life and time. So why are we so caught up and hung up on materialistic things and materialistic things of this world when you should be, amen, getting ready for the eternity? You should be storing up gifts and earning gifts in the eternity for your eternal life, because that's where you're going to spend most of your time, is in eternal life. And we're so grateful, and we thank the Heavenly Father for his son and his sacrifice, because he knew that we couldn't do it. Amen? He knew that we couldn't do it. And this is why salvation is free. This is why salvation is so simple. Amen? A lot of people this is just a trick of the devil to put certain people in place to make you believe that salvation is this difficult thing to obtain. Salvation is the most easiest thing that you can ever obtain. Salvation is more easier than breathing air. Amen. Why? Because I have to continually breathe just to receive air to live. I have to continually drink water, amen, just to receive it in my body so that I may live. Amen. We know there's two things that we can't live without, and that's water and air. Try to go without either one. I guarantee you definitely have to have air. If you don't breathe air after a few minutes, you'll be out of here. Amen. Because I'm not saying that you should try that. Amen. It's not a test. I think you should put to the test. But the same thing about water. You go some time without putting water in your body. I don't know how long, but if you go some time without putting water in your body, I know for a fact that you'll be out of here. So they're both essential to our living. We must have water and air. And so make sure that you are getting your water and air daily. But I also want you to get your spiritual daily bread. Amen. Make sure that you're reading your Bible every day. Because if we're saved and we're believers, amen, we should build up those spiritual eternal gifts by reading our word daily and study our words as much as we can, showing love to the brothers and the sisters. And so the plan of salvation is Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Just that simple. Amen. And say if you climb Mount Everest, or if you get to the top of some type of mountain or building, or you know, if you're able to do certain things and speak in tongues. I've heard so many different things over the years. People make up all kind of things that's not even biblical. Amen. It's not even in the Bible nowhere. If you don't speak in the tongue, you don't have the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? The Bible does not say that nowhere. Amen. You automatically have the Holy Spirit, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as you receive salvation. Now, you may not be operating in the Holy Spirit, amen. In other words, you're not letting the Holy Spirit lead you, amen. Now, that's a choice, amen, but that has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. We've established that over the teachings, over the weeks, and over the months. I've showed you scripture after scripture, amen. And as I told you before, no one can show me any of these things that they make up in their mind. And we shouldn't follow false doctrines. The Bible says that we follow sound doctrine, that we study to show thyself approved. Amen. Romans the 10th chapter, verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. What does that mean? Amen. Tim, what does that mean? Tell me, explain what verse 10 is saying to me. I got verse 9. What is verse 10 saying to me? In a nutshell, all verse 10 is simply saying, if you love someone, amen, what are you going to do? You're going to tell them. It's got to come out. See, it's just like your babies. Them kids, they love you. What they going to say? They'll say, Mama and Daddy, I love you. Why? Because what you've done for them, you took care of them. They love you. They've gotten attached to you. They've been around you. And they love you. So they got to say it, just like you got to tell them babies that you love them. You tell your parents that you love them, your family, your friends, your siblings, whoever it is that you love them. Even sometimes your enemies are your enemies. You tell them, know what, that I love you, right? Because it's in you, amen. We're not talking about this conditioned love. We're talking about what? Spiritual love, amen. The spiritual love that comes from above, from our Heavenly Father, amen. That's the love that we're talking about. Not this stuff that, well, if you buy me a car, I love you. No, we're not talking about that fake love. And I don't need that. We're talking about the real love to where you don't have to do nothing for them, but I love you anyway. Amen. And we know that this is the, as I said before, this is how we know, this is how we recognize believers. Amen. The Bible says, try the spirits by the Spirit. You know, how do we know the spirits of Yahweh? Because we confess it. Amen. We talk about love. Amen. We talked about the church of Philadelphia last week. Sure did. Talk about my church. Amen. The church I'm from, the church of Philadelphia, the church of love. It is the one of the two churches with the burning candlesticks. The other five churches' candlesticks were put out. Why? Because they failed. Amen. They failed the Most High. They failed to be obedient. As we know, that so many churches and people are hard-headed in the church just because they go to church, just because they look like the church and they dress nice and they put on some good-smelling cologne or perfume and they talk certain things. And that doesn't mean that they're saved. Amen. The Bible says there are some key factors. First of all, you have to believe and really believe, not no stuff to say you just to say it because it's a trendy thing to do. No, you have to really believe it deep in your heart that, hey, I know that I love Him. And I know that I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved forever, and I can't lose my salvation. These are real markers of the real true believers, not none of this fake stuff where we guessing and we thinking and we hoping. No, none of that. Amen. He said that He has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. Paul said that we may have confidence in the day of our judgment. Amen. I know that You died for my sins. I know that I am Your child. I know that You love me, and I love You also. Amen. Amen. You know, people get so hung up on the laws and the commandments, but what did He say? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord, thy God of heaven, Yahweh. Amen. We got to signify who we're talking about because there's so many false gods out there. I like to signify who my God is so you know and there's no funny stuff going on. Amen. I serve the Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. We know that there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Amen. This is the first and the great commandment. Amen. It's called the Shema. Amen. See, most of you have never heard of the Shema or what the Shema is. One day I'm going to teach on the Shema. You never heard about that in church. Amen. A lot of people don't even know what the Shema is. Amen. He gave that commandment to the children of Israel. Amen. But they failed to do the Shema. Amen. They went whoring after idolatry, false gods, amen, wickedness, things that they want to do in their own heart. Amen. It says that in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. See how simple He made? That's why I love my Heavenly Father. He makes things so simple and easy, but only man and Lucifer, the devil, evil, want to make things hard and make things difficult and complicate things. Amen. The Most High said, I keep things simple. Just serve me. That's all I want you to do. Just praise me. That's all I want you to do. Amen. But people get beside themselves and say, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. I want to sit up and do nothing all day and want to watch TV and just do me. Amen. But who put you here? Amen. Over in Revelation, the fourth chapter, amen, I believe it's verse 11. He said, I created you, amen, to serve me. I created everything for my purpose, to serve me. Amen. You didn't put yourself here. He put you here. Amen. But I read to you Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 through 40, that talks about the commandments. It's all about love. Love the Most High. Love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the greatest commandments. Those two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Amen. Just that simple. So if I focus on love, I can't go wrong. This is why the Church of Philadelphia, though they were small in numbers, they were great. They was like the greatest church ever. Why? Because they focused on love, and I'm encouraging today to focus on loving one another. The world's in the state that it's in due to a lack of love, amen, to my real love, because people don't want to show love. Even in the church, amen, you shouldn't go in the church and it's cold, amen. The church should be a warm place, amen. It should be fuzzy and warm. It should feel comfortable in the church, not people looking at you like, what you doing here, or you don't belong here. That's not the church, amen. We dealt with those churches, amen. But right now, amen, I want to share some more things with you. I forgot last week to read verse 13 of Revelation, the third chapter, even though it's a verse that we've read before. It's a saying that Christ said, but I forgot to read it last week. And when I got out there, I like realized, I said, man, I forgot to read that verse 13. Verse 13 of Revelation 3 says, he that hath an ear, what does that mean? A person who desires the word is going to come back each week and listen to the word. And when you sign in, you sign in, you listen, however the way that you tune into the station, you have an ear to desire to know what the Most High has to say to his people, the real true believers that show love. You have an ear, and because you have an ear to desire to want to know what the word says, the Bible, the scripture said, Christ said, let him hear. In other words, that word here in the Greek means to understand. Let him understand. And because you desire to want to know, the understanding is going to be granted to you. You're going to know what the Most High is saying to you. It says what the Spirit said unto the churches. Everybody that go to church don't desire to know what they just there. Amen. They ain't there to really hear the word. They just there to see what you want. See what's going on in church. They have no well intent. They have ill intent. Amen. No intent of showing no love. Amen. I'm laughing a little bit because I know people like that. It's not funny, but it's funny. Amen. They have no intent to show no love, no intent to do any right. Just there. Just taking up space on the pew. Amen. They could be at the house. Amen. We're going to get into that because Christ talked about that. Amen. I don't want you to be lukewarm, amen. We got a bunch of lukewarm Christians, amen. I gave you the numbers, the percentage. Two candlesticks burning out of seven churches. That's not good, amen. That's less than half the church is going to heaven and going to live for all eternal life. So just because you're called to church don't mean that you're saved. Just because you go to church don't mean that you're saved, amen. Let's get that clarification. Just because he's in the pulpit or she's in the pulpit preaching and teaching out of the Bible don't mean that they're saved, amen. There's people who read out of the Bible out of other religions and just speak all kind of false, ill things, just making up stuff. But they're using the Bible. See, you got to know your enemy. The Bible says try the spirits by the Spirit. You got to know the spirits by the Holy Spirit. If you ain't using and walking in the Holy Spirit and reading and studying your Bible, how are you going to know who's fake or not? But you're just going to attend in the church just because the person look good and they sound good. That don't mean nothing. That person's going to lead you straight to the pits of hell, and then the next step is eternal fire. Amen, the lake of fire. Just because you like the way they look or like the way they sound, the way the church look, the way the music sound in the church, that's not salvation, amen. They must be teaching the truth and rightly dividing the word, amen. Amen. So this is what we're dealing with today. So amen. So I want to share another scripture with you before I get into the study, amen. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Amen. We'll go ahead and dive into the scriptures. But before I do, and I'm going to come back to some of these other scriptures. Amen. I was talking about he that hath an ear. So I want to call your attention, amen, over to, it's going to be Acts, the 28th chapter, verse 27. That's Acts, the 28th chapter, verse 27. Let's see what it says. What does it read? It says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and should heal them. Amen. Very powerful word from Paul. What is that saying? The very exact same thing that I've been teaching and preaching for many years, for the past 20 years. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. There's no such thing as a person lost their salvation. I tell people, I wish pastors and preachers quit teaching that mess. That is false doctrine. There is no such thing. That's a doctrine of Lucifer himself. Amen. There's no such thing. You cannot lose. Christ doesn't lose. The Most High doesn't lose. He didn't die on the cross to lose you back to Satan. That makes absolutely no sense. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Amen. Paul is simply saying here, this is what we're talking about when we talk about the fall away of the, when the Bible talks about a falling away. And some people in the church used to call it the falling away of the church. There's no such thing as the falling away of the church. That's why the scriptures don't say the falling away of the church. It just says the falling away, and I'm going to show you that scripture in a minute. What that means is that people have what? I just read you the scripture. Amen. It says people the heart of people wax gross. They don't want to hear the Bible. We're in that age. People want to do what they want to do. They want to wear these rainbow colors and live the life they want to live, sleep with the same sex. You go right ahead. The Bible says those people are not going to enter into the kingdom. You think the most high, and this is the most craziest thing to me, is that there are pastors and people actually attending these churches where pastors are in same-sex relationships. I said, boy, so you're going to let this man lead you to hell and the lake of fire just because the government says it's okay? Man, the people better wake up. They are not getting into the scriptures. People are just sitting in church and just taking the person's word for it because how they look and how they sound, because how the building looks, because how the music sounds, because of the praise and worship team, but they're not digging into the scriptures. And it's sad. I'm laughing a little bit. I'm laughing in amazement that this type of thing just amazes. I mean, it just amazes me how people, and I'll never forget that they had this thing on TV. They showed this pastor, and his wife was okay with it. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Lord, then the wife then fell into the pit with him. So you're going to let your husband sleep with another man, be in the pulpit in the church. And what's so sad about it, you know, in the metro and the DFW metro, there used to be a radio show, or still is a radio show, called Heaven 97. If you're listening, you're from the metro, you know what I'm talking about. And they had a show where the host was saying that a lot of the women were calling in the church and knew that their husband was living like this. And I say, Lord have mercy, the times that we're in, we can't make light. We can't say, oh, well, he loves everybody. He does love everybody. That's why he wants you to become saved. But what he loved Lucifer. But he didn't love or like what Lucifer did. Lucifer decided to do that. These people decided to do it. They are rebelling against the Most High. And one thing that my Heavenly Father does hate that I know, he hates sin. He's not going to let you sin. He ain't going to let you do what you want to do. No more than what your parents will let you do what you want to do when you was in our household. I remember my dad used to tell us, you know, a sixth boy, hey, you do what you want to when you get grown, get your old place. But as long as you're in my house, you're going to respect me and you're going to abide by my rules. That's just all it is to it. Everywhere you go, there's regulations, there's rules, and there's respect. You can't go to your job and cut up and act how you want. They're going to fire you. You can't go to somebody else's house and act how you want. They're going to kick you out or call the cops. There's always been law. There's always been order. The Bible says do all things, not some things, not half of the things, not 75% of the things, not 25%. It said do all things decent and in order. Why do people think they can just be reckless and do what they want? Well, guess what? You can be reckless and do what you want. The Most High said, I'm just going to just have the angels throw you in the lake of fire. See, that's the end result when you just want to do what you want to do. Lucifer and all his angels, guess what? He's going to throw you in the lake of fire. So you can burn for all eternity, and you can do what you want in the lake of fire. But what you're not going to do what you want to do, because you've been in so much pain that you can't do what you want to do. So these games that people are playing with people's souls, this is why I'm ministering what I'm ministering. This is why I'm dealing with Revelation, because the Holy Spirit dealt with me to teach people to shake up the church and say, hey, you need to wake up. You're asleep, you've fallen asleep, and you're just taking in doctrines of devils. Lucifer is just putting all the stuff in your spirit and your soul, and you just accepting it. People just taking it. Just because the church is filled with thousands of people. Don't know that more than half the people, because there may be a few in there that know the word and that really truthfully believe. The rest of them are just sitting there. Amen. The lake of fire is waiting on. The Bible says it. Amen. But I want to share that verse with you from Acts 27 and 28. Read the whole context of it. Amen. It'll bless your spirit. But this is what we're talking about when we talk about people were never saved. These people are just in church. They are wolves and sheep. Now, how are you going to make a wolf a sheep? You can't. A wolf is a wolf. A sheep is a sheep. Okay? Now, that's an analogy of it. Okay? Now, the spiritual analogy of it is that, yes, you can be converted from a wolf to a sheep. But once you become a sheep, you can't go back to being a wolf, because Christ said it best himself. He said, I don't give no one the power to pluck you out of my hand. So you mean to tell me you're going to give Lucifer the power to go up to Christ and take you out of his hand? Man, please, you're playing a very dangerous game when you teach that. Lucifer has absolute, man, he can't hold nothing to Christ. Nothing to Christ. He ain't got nothing on Christ no power to Christ. Man, please. The Bible says that the demons tremble at his name. They shake when they hear his name. There's power in the name, amen, the real true name. There's power. They tremble at his name. Now, you think Lucifer don't tremble at Christ? Man, they are afraid of Christ. You better know it. Christ went down to the pits of hell and took the keys to death and hell. Man, y'all better get out of here. Man, you better know who you serve. I'm a king's kid. I don't know about y'all, but, man, I'm royalty. I get happy sometimes just reading and just talking about this stuff. I'm royalty. I don't know about you. Maybe you're not royalty is what it is. Amen. Amen. These folks following doctrine of the devil, they're not royalty. Amen. They like the kids say, they ain't ready for this. Amen. They're not ready for this. I guess they don't want no part of the kingdom. Amen. But I'm going to be there. Amen. When he come back to get me and he come back to get his church, I'm going to be in that number. Amen. Remember the old school saying, he said, I'm going to be in that number. I'm going to be in that number. I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be. Amen. I'm going to be in there in that 1,000 years. See, I don't know if you want to run on with me, but I'm already running. I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be when my Lord and Savior come back. And when we come back with him with all them horses, and when he come back with the angels and all the saints to come back to the earth to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, amen, when he come back to destroy them, amen, I'm going to be right there with him. Amen, I got to run on and see what the end going to be. You can have all this stuff out here, amen. I told you, amen, when he come back to the church, amen, if you can find out where I live, amen, you can have my house, my cars, my possessions. Yeah, I ain't going to need it. Amen. I got a spiritual, I got something better coming. Amen. People are going to be looting and breaking up stuff. Kids going to be gone. Amen. I'm going to talk about this. Let's get into this stuff. Man, I got some things I want to share with y'all. I did say on my show last night that if you listen today, I'm going to share something with you that most people are unaware of according to Scripture. Amen. But I hope I can find that Scripture. It's been a while since I've actually used that Scripture. Amen. It's been a long time, many years I've taught on this. Amen. And it's the age of accountability. Amen. A lot of people think, amen, the age of accountability is when you're a baby. Some think it's when you're 12. Some people think it's when you're a teenager. Some people think maybe it's when you get grown. Amen. But we're going to explore that. We're going to get into that today. So, amen, you know how I can get, amen, when I sit on my Bible, amen. You know, some people get on the soapbox. I say, I get on my Bible, amen. You know how I am when I get on my Bible, amen. I get happy. I get into the Word. And the Spirit just I let the Spirit just lead me and flow. Amen. But we're going to go ahead and reel it back in and go ahead and get into Revelation, the third chapter, the last church, the church of Laodicea. This church, Laodicea, the praise, they had none. They didn't have no praise. Amen. Amen. This church thought they was it. And there was another church like that. Amen. But this church here was the church of it. Amen. You ever been to a church like that? Amen. I actually been to a church like that a long time ago. Got some stories to share with you, but not today on that church because of time. Attended the church. Amen. And this was actually the church that my first pastoral mentor, my mentor in the ministry, amen, Pastor Masters, amen, he was my mentor in the ministry, amen, taught me a lot of things, taught me things that, you know, go on the church, he would let me know, but the church was, the church had a lot of people who owned businesses, amen, they were considered wealthy-like people, amen, they had control of the church, amen, sat on the board, you know, that's how it is, when you got money, amen, you put that big checks in the tithe plate, they put you on the board, amen, they had control, amen, and so, and a lot of things I can say about that, but let me go ahead and get into it. I don't want to get sidetracked again. Amen. So Laodicea, whose name means justice of the people, was a wealthy city with its own medical school, textile industry, and robust banking system. Amen. This is like 2,000 years ago. Man has been intelligent for a long time. Amen. So this shouldn't surprise us. Amen. People have been living in civilization for thousands of years. Amen. We know that the world's been civilized. Remember, ancient Egypt was civilized, but this was 2,000 years ago, right? It was founded by Antiochus II, who ruled from 261 through 246 BC and was situated along one of Asia's major trade routes. It was believed that Cicero cashed bank drafts there in 51 BC. Now, watch this. The city was manufactured an extremely popular eye salve called Carilion, okay? And the city's water supply, now watch this, came from the city of Hierapolis, an ancient Greek city that rested on hot springs. coincidentally or not, the water arrived in Laodicea, neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Isn't that amazing? History, that have a history coincide with the scriptures on how the church actually was and how Christ used certain things that were going on at that time according to nature in the city and just how the church was. I thought that was amazing when I saw that and I researched that, and I thought that was, and that's pretty amazing. Amen. So with that being said, amen, we're going to get a little bit more into the scriptures. Amen. We'll come back to certain things, but we're going to get into the scriptures. So Laodicea was this church. Praise, they had none. They had no praise, okay? Some churches were, Christ praised those churches because there were some things that he liked about them. But we know that Sardis and Laodicea, they were like kind of like what we would think of the worst of the churches. Man, you go in this church was cold. I've been in churches like that. Amen. The people thought they were better than everybody. Nobody wanted to hug or shake hands hardly or, you know, say hello to you or have a conversation with you. Amen. This was a cold church. Amen. The church of Laodicea. The criticism that you are lukewarm. Amen. That was Christ. Criticism to the church. You are lukewarm. We're going to find out what lukewarm is here in a minute. Amen. I gave you a touch of it when I read that scripture over in Acts 28, chapter verse 27. They were lukewarm. The exhortation, be earnest and repent. Amen. Be earnest and repent. Amen. So that's what we want them to do. Amen. We want you to make a swift repent. Okay. Change your ways. Amen. Because a lot of times the Bible says, a lot of times people lean toward their own understanding. The Bible says, lean not toward our own understanding. And it says, in fact, in all you're getting, get an understanding. Amen. So a lot of times you'll meet people who think they know certain things. Again, it's not even biblical, not even scripture, not even sound doctrine. How many times has Paul taught the church and told us, amen, when he talked to the church that he ministered to, the false sound doctrine. Don't let people come in and fool you and misguide you in the word. Follow sound doctrine. Don't let anybody just get up in the pulpit or come to your church and just tell you anything. It's not be scripture. Amen. So make sure that we are following sound doctrines, which is why I encourage you to study and read your Bible on your own. Amen. Throughout the week, pick up the word. I give you so many scriptures. Hey, don't just take Tim's word for it. Go and do the research on your own. Amen. Now, the reward was they will be seated with Christ. If they what? Repent. If they change from their ways. Amen. If they turn around and stop being lukewarm. Amen. So what it means to be lukewarm is, remember, I told you there's no such thing as a person was saved and they were saved and they were saved. No, they were lukewarm. They never were saved. Let's delve into the scripture. Let's read Revelation 3rd chapter, verse 14. Christ said, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Amen. Who is the angel of the church? To the leadership. The word, the Revelation uses a lot of symbolism, amen, a lot of it's very symbolic. So you have to kind of delve into the scripture and study and say, it says angel, because when I used to read, I used to think they were talking about an actual angel, but it's not. That translation of the word angel means the headship, the overseers, the bishops, the leadership of the church, amen, the people who oversee the church, amen, the board of the church. Christ said, write to the Laodiceans, amen? And I told you who the Laodiceans were. They was a wealthy city. It says, watch this. It says, these things said the amen. Amen. Who is the amen? Amen. Christ himself, the faithful and true witness. We know that Christ is what? The faithful and true witness, amen. We know who he is, what, right? Amen. He says, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. Amen. This is who Christ is. Amen. We know from reading over in the book of St. John, amen, who Christ is. He is the beginning, and this is why we call him the Word. Amen. Because the word, amen, in Greek is Logos. Amen. He was the intelligence of the Most High. He was always with him. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Amen. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. That's St. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about Christ was always in the beginning. Amen. From the beginning, he's always existed with the Most High. Remember, there's the Father, the Son, and what? The Holy Spirit. They have always existed together. Amen. Amen. They've always existed, okay? So, amen. Looking at the scripture, amen, saying that he's always existed from the beginning. Amen. With the Most High. And it also says, and he was Yahweh. What do you mean that Christ was Yahweh? What does that mean? Well, they're one. He was the mind of the Most High before he was incarnated into a fleshly body. Amen. So he's always been around. Amen. And so now watch this. So I want to break that down and show you who he was. Amen. This is what it's talking about over in Revelation, the third chapter, verse 14. Now watch what it says in verse 15. Amen. Well, let me share another scripture. I got a little time. I'm going to share another scripture with you. Amen. Colossians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 17. First Colossians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 17. It says, who is the image of the invisible God of heaven, Yahweh? Amen. The firstborn of every creature. Who are we talking about? You know it. Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, the one who died on the cross. He gave up his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Amen. That's who he's referring to. Verse 16 says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, one day I'm going to break that down, because a lot of people can't fathom how can the Most High. I've heard people in other rooms say, well, how can Christ be God, and how can he be Christ, and how can they be one? First of all, he's not man. You're trying to put him in a box with you. He's not in the box with you. Okay, he's not man. He's a spirit. In fact, the Bible says I believe it's the first letter, the first epistle of John, it says, and he is that spirit, amen. It may be over there, I may be paraphrasing a little bit too much, but I have to find that scripture for you one day. The Bible says he is that spirit, signifying that he is different from any other spirit that he has created. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, amen. He needs no explanation, amen. He answers to what? No one, amen. Why are you asking all these questions, amen? We got folks trying to get smart and get cute out of here, amen. He answers to no one, not to me, not to you, not to no one, especially to nothing that he created, amen. He is, amen. He said he is before all things, and by him all things consist, amen. This is Christ. This is why he's called the Word, amen. And this is why we have to be careful how we use our words, because our words create things, amen. And this is why he's called the Word, because when the Bible said, when Yahweh spoke things into existence, when he said, let there be light, that was Christ, amen. Well, because the Word went forward, amen, and caused it to be light, amen, caused the earth to be created. And then the Holy Spirit joined in and began to fashion, amen. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the hands, amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work, amen. Amen. One day I'm going to get into breaking that down, but not today, amen. So we're going to move forward, amen. Watch what it says in verse 15, Revelation 3 and 15. It says, I know thy works, amen. So remember I told you that Christ know you, amen. He know you better than you know yourself, amen. You got people that love to say, oh, well, he knows my heart. Yeah, you're right. He knows your heart, all right. He knows that it's wicked and there's no good intent, amen. Some people just in church just to fool people. They're after the wrong thing, amen. I've seen, amen, we're not going to get into that, amen. We're going to go ahead and move on to scripture. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. Amen. So what is he saying? Amen. What is he saying in that verse? Amen. When I used to read that, I'm like, man, what is it? What is he saying? What is he saying? That I would thou wast cold or hot. Who is he talking to? Amen. They always teach us that you must know your audience in scriptures and in the scripture. Who is he talking to? Who is Christ talking to? He's talking to the unbelievers who attend church, who are faking and don't know any better. Some do know better, amen. Now, there are some people who are unbelievers because they have not been taught the correct right doctrine. There are some people who are unbelievers just by choice. They're just stubborn, and they just go to church. They don't really care about being saved. They're there for other reasons. I've seen those type of people in church, amen, which I believe, which I, like I said, I'm not going to get into that today because it's a whole other story I have to share with you another day, amen. But there are people, amen, as I told you before, they are just in church, amen. They never were saved, but these are the exact same people that people say, oh, well, you know, they used to be saved just because they went to church for years. No. They never were saved, amen. They just attended church. They went to church with you. They sung, they sung in the choir, amen. They enjoyed church. They enjoyed the services, amen. I got scripture to back that up, amen. But they were never saved. They were just in church, amen. Amen. If you don't believe me, look over at 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18 and 19, amen. Read those verses. It'll tell you about those who that they just was in church, amen, but they wasn't saved. Amen. And this is what the scripture is talking about. I may go and visit that verse here in a minute. Okay. So it says that I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, what is this saying? Cold meaning unbelievers, the unbelief. Hot meaning they are what? Believers. They're hot for the Lord. They're working in the church. Amen. Like the church of Philadelphia is hot. The church of Laodicea is what? Cold. Amen. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a few believers in there, because we know that in what all churches, well, not all churches, amen, but we know in most churches, you're going to find some people who really actually truthfully know the word and believe, but they may like the pastor. They may like the choir or the way the praise and worship. They may like the way the building looks, amen. Or they just may feel comfortable whether it's a large church or a small church. They just may say, hey, this is convenient. My friend go here, my wife or my husband go here, or my best friend or my girlfriend or boyfriend go, they may go there for a certain reason, amen, but they are true believers. But, amen, you have who in the church? People who are cold. They are unbelievers. The scripture says what? This is what they are, okay? He said that, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Meaning that, now, understand this, because I just gave you the difference between people who are hot, believers, cold, unbelievers, amen. Now, because they are lukewarm, we're going to get into that in a few verses. I want you to understand, amen. Lukewarm does not mean that they were saved and then they became unsaved. It does not mean that, amen. They are called lukewarm because they have opportunity. They go to church, amen. They are lukewarm. They're just not cold, meaning they're not all the way out there in the world. People are cold. They ain't studying. They ain't going to church at all. I've met people say, I don't want to hear that. I ain't going to church. And I got family members like that right now today. They don't want nothing to do with going to church. And it's the fun. I talk to them, and for years they've been the same way. They just cold. They don't want nothing to do with church. They ain't going to church. They don't care what you do. They don't care about you being saved. They don't care about the gathering together, the rapture. They don't care about hell. They don't care about the lake of fire. They don't care about Christ. They don't care about the Most High. They are just not going to church. And again, I may kind of laugh about not laughing at their situation because it's not funny, but it just sometimes it just amazes me how people are. They want nothing to do with church. Maybe they've been hurt, maybe they've been scarred. I don't know what the reason is, but they don't want to go to church. They are not. They are cold. They are cold. They ain't even lukewarm. They just straight up cold. They ain't coming to church. They don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. So. Again, you know, it's sad, really, but we got to pray for people like that, okay? We got to pray for people cold and the lukewarm, because we want them to become what? We want them to be hot like us, amen? We want them to be hot. You're talking about we going back, we're looking for his return, we're going to be in heaven, we got these spiritual gifts for all eternity. We want them to be hot. But watch what Christ said. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why does he want to spew the ones who are what? Let me go and read verse 16 so you'll know why. Verse 16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm, because they ain't cold or hot, they are lukewarm, he said, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word spew in the Greek means to vomit. In other words, I will throw you up out of my mouth. You ain't no good. He really despised you more, because you want to know why? People who are unbelievers in the church, they deceive and deter people who are trying to really know the truth from finding out the truth and becoming saved. There are so many pastors, ministers, preachers, teachers, members, musicians, whatever you want to call them, churchgoers, people in the church who really have deterred people from becoming saved. Why? Because of their lifestyle. Amen. This is what Christ is talking about. It is very deceitful, amen, to people. Christ said, I will spew you out. Amen. It's not good, because when you look like the church, act like the church, and people really think you're the church, but you're really cold, you have no real spiritual good intent, amen, you are just misleading people, and you are stopping people from becoming saved. You are a stumbling block. You are stopping people from becoming saved because you're playing church. And then you have those type of people who have the nerve to say, oh, I used to be saved. No, you never were saved. You were playing games in church, and all you're doing is you're misleading a lot more other people who have the opportunity to come and get saved. And you're telling, oh, I ain't nothing in the church. I haven't been to church. I've heard people say stuff like that. I'm just like, boy, you were never saved. Because once you taste, the Bible says, oh, taste and see. The word says, oh, taste and see. Man, if you really get a hold of salvation, oh, you ain't going back. I'm going to tell you that now. See, people don't follow Scripture. The Scripture says, oh, taste and see. Man, that's deep. Amen. I hope this is blessing your spirit today. Amen. We're beyond the halfway point. But I got to share, amen, the plan of salvation with you if you just tuned in. Amen. You know, the plan of salvation will bless you. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. Amen. The plan of salvation is eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift that he gives freely to everyone. Don't matter if you say you sold your soul, if you're a part of another religion, you can get converted and come over to the real and serve the real true God. Amen. The Shema, amen, as we talked about earlier. The real true God, amen. Not this fake stuff that's going on out here, with this fake stuff that's going on. A lot of people talk they love the Most High. They talk love. You know what's crazy? I've been teaching love now for about 20 years. Yeah, 20 years since I've been saved. And it's funny. It seemed like somewhere, I think, after 2012, I began to hear people freely use love. I'm talking about all types of background religions. Oh, our religion, love. Oh, you know what? This group of people, we love. We are so loving people. Man, I'm saying things to myself, yeah, right. You ain't loving. You're just hiding behind the title of love. You're not true love. Agape, which is the spiritual love from above, from our Heavenly Father, you're just hiding behind the word love, and you know, that's fake stuff. And as soon as things don't go your way, amen, you know, that we're having to that love, amen, you're not exercising. We're talking about real, true love from the Heavenly Father. And if you really, truthfully love, you really walk and follow him, amen. If you really, truthfully love, you spend some time with him, amen. You read your Bible daily. Amen. You study your Bible more. We're talking about real, not this fake stuff. Amen. If the Most High was to do some of y'all, I ain't gonna say me, some of y'all, the way y'all do him, oh my Lord, please. If he was to do you all the way a lot of you all do him, amen. I may not be talking to somebody that's listening, but it could be anyone in the world. If he was to do you and bless you how you bless him, you sparingly spend time with him, you only go to him when you need some or want some or when you're in trouble. Amen. But church, that should not be. Amen. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. I remember that. There used to be a song in church I used to love. It's called Sweet Honey in the Rock. Amen. Sweet Honey in the Rock. Amen. If the word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, amen, is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, man, y'all better come on with me. Y'all better get on this train. I'm telling you, this train is going to heaven. It ain't coming back, amen. Not after that 7 years. After all the mess is done, Christ is going to come back and clean it up, amen. We're going to clean this world up, amen, for 1,000. You better come on and join this side and quit playing, amen. Oh, taste and see, man. If some of you may, I know that in the South. I don't know if y'all heard that song, but that in the South, I used to love that song. Amen. Sister used to sing that. She used to bang that organ. Sweet Honey in the Rock. Amen. Just love that song, amen. I wish somebody could play that song, amen. Sweet honey in the rock, sweet honey. Man, that used to be the jam, amen. But amen, oh, taste and see. Come on, see, when you come to this side, ain't no going back, amen. Ain't no talking this foolishness, talking about you used to be saved. Ain't no such thing. Either you're saved or you're not, amen. And that's one thing Yahweh ain't going to play. You ain't going to play with him, amen. And you don't play with him. Ain't going to be no halfway always straddling the fence with him. You're going to get kicked off on the other side. See, you can't straddle the fence. Either you're saved or you're not. Amen. Stop teaching false doctrine. Stop teaching this stuff. I heard people used to be, ain't used to be anything on this side. Either you are or you're not. Amen. He said, I spew you out. There's no such thing. Amen. Well, I got some scriptures here. Amen. Amen. Let's go on to verse 7. Let's move on. Amen. Hopefully you're being blessed by this word. Amen. I thank you for tuning in. I thank you all who have been faithful and listening. Amen. I thank the Most High for you all that have had an ear and a desire to hear and want to know the truth, know the true word. Amen. The rightly divided word. Amen. All glory to the Most High. I don't want any. I put a lot of work into this. Amen. A lot of hours of time. Amen. Sometimes my wife give me a hard time. Say, you know what? You don't always spend no time. You be reading that Bible so much. But, amen. Amen. I have to kind of push back sometime. Amen. Keep the house happy as well. Amen. But it's a blessing to be able to do this for you. Amen. So I give him all the praise and glory. Amen. I don't want none because I know my reward is written up there in heaven. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. Verse 17, Revelation 17. It says, because thou sayest, amen, I am rich. Amen. Now this is a little different from that I am rich quote over in Revelation, the second chapter, amen, verse 9, where it says, but thou art rich. That's in parentheses. That's Revelation 2 and 9. Now, that rich is talking about spiritually rich, amen. But once you do the interpretation and your research on this rich, it says, I am rich, amen. So now understand the difference. The other one says, Christ says, but thou art rich. Christ was calling him rich, meaning that he was saying that you are rich spiritually in the spirit. Like, I am rich spiritually. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm rich spiritually. Amen. I may not have much on this earth. Amen. You compare me with some of the folks out of the world, you probably laugh at what I got. Amen. But I'm happy with the little that I do have because I'm rich, what? Spiritually. I can understand that back in the day when my dad used to be, I mean, he was rich spiritually. He was looking for the great gift, the pie in the sky. Amen. The pie in the sky is the best pie to have than the pie here on earth. Amen. Cause you know you gotta worry about nobody eating your pie in the sky. You know you get to have your cake and eat it too. Amen. You get to have your cake and eat it too. Amen. So that's the pie that I want. But here in verse 17 of Revelation, the third chapter, Christ said, "Because thou say," in other words, because you say, "I am rich and increase with goods." So now we know we're talking about worldly, amen, materialistic rich. Amen. And have need of nothing. Amen. We know that's not talking about spiritual rich. So we know by the language that it's saying that what? You're saying that you're rich on earth. There are people like that right now, but they're in church, out of church. Oh, I have this degree. I've met people like that. Oh, I have this nice, fine car. You know, you live around people like that. Nice car, you know, $100,000 car, you know, nice house. It's okay to have nice things in this life. But where does your heart lie? Amen. Are you saved? Do you really believe? If you lost everything today, would you go try to go buy a gun and take yourself out? Or if you lost everything today, you about to go off the edge and just lose your mind? Amen. No. Amen. They can have this stuff here. Amen. You can start over. Amen. Because why? I am rich spiritually. We don't get attached to these things. Paul said it best, amen, amen. Paul said it best. He said, I've been good, and he said, and sometimes I've had, you know, not that much, amen. But Paul said what? He said, I learned to be what? Content. We got to learn to be content. If whether I have much or little, we have to learn to be in the middle. Hey, I'm fine. I'm okay. But the scripture says in verse 17, now watch it say, it says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Man, Christ is going to town. He's just going in. And you know what? I'm going to read that again. It says, and knowest not. Not what he said. Don't you know? See, you think you got it going on because you got this nice big house, this car, the money in the bank, you flossing, you blinging, and all the other stuff that you got going on that we see people going on in the world, but they don't have Christ. Christ says, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched, man, you ain't got it going on. He says, and you are miserable. Most rich people are miserable. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are miserable. Man, you know, I work at the bank, and, man, they're some of the most nastiest people to deal with. They think they own the world. They think they can command you and talk to you any kind of way, look down on you, talk down your way. Wait a minute, hold on, back up. Amen. But you know I'm a king's kid. Say, sometimes you got to check people. You got to let people know this is just a job. I'm just passing through. Amen. You check my resume. I can move around. Amen. The Bible said that. What? He opens what? He said, the scripture said he openeth and no man shut it and no man openeth. I'm a king's kid. Amen. I serve the Most High. Don't let no job or no people define you. People hold on to these jobs, so afraid to. Man, look at here. The Bible says he gives us not the spirit of fear. Amen. Amen. That's how you're supposed to walk. Don't he say I supply all of your needs? He didn't say some of your needs, half of your needs. See, a lot of times if people start walking in fear, amen, you'll be so much more blessed. But you walking in fear, trying to hang on, you scared if you get fired, making $100,000 a year, man, please, you can have that $100,000 a year job, amen. I've had good jobs, you know, you have this. Amen, I ain't the one, the two, or the three, amen. You can't talk to me any kind of way. We ain't going for that. I'm grown just like you are, amen. I'll wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, amen, just like you do. And we not doing that, amen. We're going to respect me, amen. I'm going to respect you. And then we're going to go on down a yellow brick road, amen. That's how we're going to do it. We're not going to be ugly to one another just because you got a position, just because you're the boss, amen, because that's what HR is for, amen. Amen. See, sometimes you just can't let people run you over. Amen. But back to the scripture. Christ said, he said what? Thou art rich and miserable and poor, and he said, and blind. Let's kind of explore some of these things, amen. Because the last thing he said, that you are naked. Now, why is he saying these things in this order? He said, thou art rich, amen, because you are. If you think that the money is all you got, you in very bad shape. Because a lot of people that lose their money and lose their material possessions, amen. I worked in the mortgage industry, amen, before it got bad, and it was sad that people was killing themselves. They were killing their family. I remember this one client, wasn't really a client, I think it was an attorney, a family member actually called in and said that, Tim, sir, that this gentleman, you know, one of the people that were on our books, he had murdered himself. He murdered his wife, his kid, killed his whole family because he lost his house and couldn't. He's losing it. He lost it. Hang on to material wealth. We put so much importance on things that's not important. It really isn't that. It's important, but it's not that important. It's not that serious that you got to take your life or your family life or hurt somebody. You can get these things back. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We know that, I guarantee you, over 99% of the rich people in the world love the world. They do. That's why Christ said what he said to the young ruler. The young ruler couldn't handle it. He said, what must I do to enter heaven? He said, sell all your goods, sell or give your goods to the poor and follow me. Man, he said, what? Give away. You know how uppity some folks get. What? Give away my Mercedes and my Lexus, Mercedes, you know, my big house, my good job or my business? Please. You know, a lot of people ain't going for that. They ain't having that. Huh? They gonna kill you. Oh, they love the world. Hey, man, please. They ain't trying to hear that. They got it going on. They got membership at clubs and they've been fraternities and so, man, they ain't giving up that stuff. Sororities and masonry, they not giving up that stuff for you and nobody else. The Most High and His Son and the Spirit, they ain't doing that. The scripture said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. 16, amen. This is what we're talking about when he says wretched. Don't love the world. It says, and miserable, amen. You are miserable, amen. They have all this stuff and they still not happy. You ever seen people that got, I see it all the time. I've seen people call the bank with millions of dollars in the bank account, hundreds of dollars in the bank account. Oh, man, them jokers. I remember one time this lady actually made me mad. I mean, got on my nerves. Wanted us to waive a $5 or $10 fee. This woman had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank account. So much money in another bank account. Another, a lot of money in another account. I was just like, Lord have mercy. They are the worst. If a penny is missing out of that account, they about to go nuts. Hey, you know, and don't get me wrong, I understand the principle of things. But sometimes you got to wink at things and say, okay, if it's your fault, go ahead and pay it. It's different than the bank's error. The scripture said that you are miserable and poor. Now see how it transitions between the spiritual and the natural. And he says, now it's and poor. Now what he's saying, that you are poor spiritually. Yeah, you're rich on this earth, but you are poor spiritually. And when you die, we've explored this scripture too about the rich farmer. And when you die, if you die today and you're rich and you don't have the Most High, amen. I think the minister, amen, Mr. Broussard said, they say, in hell you shall lift up your eyes, amen. Talk about that over in Luke, the 16th chapter. Amen. Talk about the rich man. Amen. He died, went off, was carried off to hell. Death carried him to hell. And when he awoke, amen, he was in hell. What profit a man to gain the whole world to lose his own soul? It ain't rocket science. Amen. It's just the truth. Now watch what it said. It said that you are blind. You are blind spiritually. You don't want to hear the word. You don't want to hear the truth. It's too much for you over here. It's heavy over here. This steak and wine is too much for you, amen. See, amen, this is too much for you over here, amen. It's too much, the steak, tough meat, amen. Scripture says tough meat, amen. Some folks can't handle this type of teaching. They can't handle this type of work. They like the little simple, easy stuff where folks slap them over the forehead, push them back and shove them forward and throw them on the ground and tell them, you're going to be a millionaire in 5 months. Amen, 5 months go by, they all stressed out and depressed and wondering, amen. Okay, they want to hear the stuff. They want to hear the easy messages, amen. They want to hear stuff where they don't convict their life, amen. They can live any kind of way, amen. Live any kind of lifestyle and play the organ, amen. They want that type of stuff, amen. I remember a time where it was about my dad and other pastors wouldn't go for certain things in the church. Amen. That goes both ways, amen. It don't matter if you're a heterosexual or a homosexual. It don't matter. It goes both ways, amen. We want you out here living a messy life. They wouldn't have. They knew something about you, and they got back, or they observed. They saw, nah, you can't be in my church with that. Not hold an office, amen. The word says that you are blind and naked. What is it talking about when it says naked, amen? Amen. Ephesians the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 2. I'm not going to even read them all, amen. I'm just going to give you the verse, amen. Ephesians the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 10, and let you read them on your own. But the scripture describes, talks about, you know, being naked. What does it mean? We see this thing about being naked. We've seen it several times. The Bible talks about you being, that's literal. I looked it up and studied. That's literal. What it's saying is on the day of judgment, amen. Again, Revelation, I believe it's the 20th chapter of Revelation, amen. I think I've talked about this before. Verse 12, it talks about how all the dead will be judged. Talking about the unbelievers, when you stand before him, you're going to be naked. You're going to have your old funeral clothes on, whatever you have. You're going to be naked in front of him. And you're going to be just, the Bible says it's going to be shameful. It is. Because remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what's the first thing that they noticed? Hey, amen. I thought I talked on this before. Hey, amen. Let me go there real quick. Hey, amen. It's Genesis, I think it's the second or third chapter. Let's go there real quick. Got a little bit of time. I'm about to get ready to shut it down. Amen. Hopefully you're being blessed spiritually. Amen. Hopefully you're growing spiritually. Amen. Hopefully you all are transitioning from the baby milk and the milk. Amen. So Paul says that from the milk to the what? The strong meat. Amen. Amen. It says Genesis, the 3rd chapter. It says, I believe it's verse 7. It says after they ate of the fruit, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. So verse 10 says, and he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And the Most High said, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So Adam and Eve became naked. Amen. So when you sin and live an unbeliever's life, amen. I told people, only one thing that can really take you to the lake of fire, take you to hell, is us. That's unbelief, because you don't believe. That's the only thing that can take you to the lake of fire, because you simply don't believe. And there are some other things, but remember, those things that are done by other people, I'll get into this another day and time. Amen. That's a whole nother level. But this here, just regular, everyday, anybody on this earth, unbelieving, amen, that's what's going to take you to the lake of fire. And when you stand before the Most High, the Scripture says you're going to be naked. Verse 18, for Jesus said that, and I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. So eye salve for to help you to see. Amen. Amen. So remember, says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's what I'm doing. I'm counseling you with the word. That's what he means. I counsel you, teaching you, showing you the word, leading you, transitioning you from baby milk to strong meat, teaching you that you may grow to be a stronger believer. Amen. That you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, so that you may go back and study your word, teach the word. You may go out and teach other believers, convert other people, amen. You may convert more people than I've ever converted, amen. You never know what your gift is, amen, in the Most High. This is what we want. We want you to convert more people, amen. He says, then what? That thou mayest be rich. This is the true riches right here. What we're doing now is real riches, amen. And white raiment. We want you to have, you're going to be beautiful. You're going to have a brand new body. You think, man, you don't have to go to the gym. You're going to be so immaculate. Amen. I'm going to keep it clean. You're going to be so immaculate, so beautiful. Amen. That, man, you're going to have this white robe, this white raiment. It said that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness. Now you see the difference of what he's saying. You won't be naked on the day of judgment, but you're going to be clothed in white. So you're going to be on his side. You're going to be with us, the Most High, and all the holy angels and the Holy Spirit and Christ. We're going to have a white ring. You're going to be beautiful with a new, beautiful body. Or you could be naked, being judged. He's going to grill you up and down. Everything that you did, everything that you thought, everything that you said. You're going to be naked. It's going to be shameful because everybody's going to see your nakedness. Can you imagine everybody from heaven and earth and all through time and history see you naked? Man, I'll tell you right now, y'all need to quit planning and come on to this side. It says, and do not appear. Amen. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Amen. White raiment. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the rest of the scripture. We're going to come back. Amen. I'm going to read verse 19. It says, as many as I love. Amen. He loves everybody. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. He loves us. Amen. He loves the church, but he has to chastise. I remember when I was young, man, my dad used to chastise me, amen, for some of the things I used to do. Amen. But he did it because why? He loved me. He did it because he knew if I didn't chastise you, worse things are going to come about. And this is why Christ and the Most High chastise us as believers, because if he don't keep us in line, worse things could come. Amen. He don't want nothing to happen to us. And he chastised the unbeliever because he wants them to get right, amen, to see him so they won't go and be lost for all eternity. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He will come in and dine with you. That's what that word sup means in the Greek. He's going to come in and dine with you. He wants to come in and dine with you. He stood at the door. I remember when he stood at the door and he knocked. He was trying to get my attention. I was in the world. I was having fun. Me and the homeboy, we were hanging out. We were kicking. We were going to this club, that club, this strip club. We were going there. We were living the life. We were just doing. We were making good money. Hey, we were having fun. And he was knocking on the door. I said, man, what does he want? Oh, why are you ready to go to church, right? But little I know, if I would have lost my life at any point out there in the world, I would have been lost for all eternity. I'm so grateful that he stood at the door. He continued to knock, and he didn't give up on me. I am so grateful to this day. 20 years ago, he saved my soul. And I heard him. I said, you know what, Tim, what are you doing? You need to get saved. You was raised better than this. All that you're doing, you're blessed. Your family's blessed. Your kids are healthy. You're doing good. You had a newborn son. You're blessed. Hey, he wasn't born at the time, but my younger son was on his way 20 years ago. And it's a blessing that, you know, he's kept us all these years. He's blessed my family, and he's blessed us. And this is what I want for you. Man, there's so many things. Don't let the world trick you. You are so blessed. You're royalty. Man, don't let the world fool you. There's so much more things on this side than what Lucifer has to offer, because that stuff is fake. Now I'm so glad that I did transition my life from that life to this life, because he'll make the world look so beautiful and so attractive. He does. And I'm not going to joke with you. He still does look beautiful and attractive. There's a lot of things, but he's tricking you. He's fooling you, because the end result is hell and the lake of fire and torment for all eternity. Don't be tricked into that. Watch what the scripture says, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's going to be so beautiful. Don't you want to sit with him? Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Oh, in other words, you're going to be in the glory of his throne. We will get to sit before the Heavenly Father. Oh, man, that's going to be so beautiful. Heaven is, as Paul said it best, Paul said, you can't imagine heaven. See, Lucifer knows and that's going to be, that's the old heaven. He's preparing a new heaven and a new earth for us now. And you know it's going to be nice. You know it's going to be immaculate and beautiful. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to be there in all eternity in love? I don't know what more could a person ask for. You can think this stuff here on this earth is nice, but it's not. It's nice because it's all we understand. It's all we know. It's what we're used to. But what he has for us is going to be so awesome, man. Paul said, I hadn't seen, meaning your eye that you see out of, your ear that you hear out of, you hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart. In other words, you can't understand, you can't fathom your wildest dreams or your wildest imagination what he has for us. Man, don't you want to go? Oh, I can't wait. That's why I look for him every day. Amen. Verse 22 says, he that hath an ear. Amen. In other words, if you desire to hear, tune in next week. We're going to get into Revelation, the fourth chapter. Now we're going to move into the future. John was caught up to heaven. He was caught up like a rapture. He was here. I was in the spirit immediately. He was transformed from this form to a spiritual form, and he was in heaven. And the things that John the Revelator saw, he had to dumb it down. See, the earth is so simple. He couldn't describe what he saw. He couldn't. He could not tell us what he saw. He had to use earthly things to try to describe. In his time, even if we was to go up to heaven in our time, we still could come back and say, man, you know what? I can't even tell you. There's nothing on earth that I can describe to you what I saw. We can't imagine something. You know, we go on vacation. We have nice vacations. We go on these different places. You may go to different countries. You come back, you take pictures, you describe what you saw. Even if you don't take pictures, you describe. I said, man, that's nice. When John came back, he couldn't even tell us what he saw. John saw the future and couldn't tell us what he saw. John saw probably planes and cars. He probably saw TV screen. He couldn't explain what he saw. Whatever he saw, this is an example I'm using, he could not explain what he saw. It's the same thing for us. If we was to go 2,000 years in the future, we'd come back, we couldn't explain what we saw. The world's going to be totally different than what it is now. That's 2,000 years in the future. I heard people go to prison and come home and say, man, never would I have thought the world would be like it is now. They can't comprehend the world when they come home. So can you imagine 2,000 years, you was to go 2,000, all these people thought they'd been here. These folks hadn't been nowhere. This is, they selling stories and they getting likes on social media. That's what they're doing. Okay? But he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear, let him understand. If you desire to know more and want to understand, the Most High is going to give you an understanding. I encourage you to take notes, come back and listen to the show, re-listen to the show, get all the knowledge. It don't belong to me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through me, giving it to you. Share it with the world. We're trying to encourage as many people to get into the kingdom before it is too late. Christ and Daniel said it best. There will be a time on this, that has never been since there's been a nation on this earth in the 7-year period, whenever it kicks off. And again, if we happen to live to see the gathering together, or some people call it the rapture, oh, man, a blessing. Amen. So a lot more scriptures I had to share with you. I didn't get a chance to get into it. Amen. It's okay. It's all good. I love you. Hopefully you love me, because I definitely love you. I don't have to see you. I know that I said I was going to share with you. Amen. I don't know if I have a little time to get to this scripture. Let me see if I can find it. It's been many, many years since I taught on this. It's the age of accountability. Amen. So hopefully you've hung in here. If I'm not able to show it to you in the Bible, I know. Let me see if I can. I think it's over in Leviticus. See if I can show it to you. Amen. So let me, I'm going to go into the description of suicide, because I want to clear it up what I said last night, because a lot of times when you say things, one thing I've learned about teaching over the past 20 years in ministering, that you have to be very careful, because when you say certain things, oh my goodness, people have a bad habit of, even when I work at the bank, people try to tell me, oh, so you're saying, no, that's what you said. Let me repeat what I said so there's no confusion. See, that's what you said. So I don't like people to put words in my mouth. So I have to always correct people, not being ugly or mean or anything, but people will really try to put words into your mouth like, no, I didn't say that. That's what you said. But let me say what I said so there won't be no mistake. So there won't be no confusion. The Bible says all you're getting, get understanding, okay? So let me see if I can find this scripture. Man, I had this scripture written down. I want to say I taught it recently here. Let's see if I can find this scripture. Again, I think it's in Leviticus. And anyway, let me, since I only got so much limited time, I'll come back next week. I will guarantee next week I'll just kick off the show with it. But let me share it with you. You'll find it. You probably, I don't know, like I say, I had all this stuff before the internet became popular. But it's over in the book of Leviticus. And what it is, what it was with the people of the children of Israel always grown. When they left Egypt, they was complaining and groaning and groaning. They wouldn't stop. So what the Most High said was, okay, since y'all want to keep on groaning and complaining, what I'm going to do, I'm going to cause you all not to see the promised land. And the people who he said was going to get to see the promised land, they were 20 years of age and above. But the people who were under age 20, meaning that they were 19 and young, I don't want to say the 26 or the 27. I got to find this. I used to always know this, but by heart. But because I studied so many different scriptures, you know, over time, it's like, you know, it's not really that relevant to keep in my mind. So I kind of, but anyway, I'll bring it to you next week. For sure, I'll guarantee, and I'll even announce it next Friday night on my show. But the people who are 19, he allowed them to come in. The point that I'm making is that he's not going to punish children. I don't believe that. I will not ever believe that. And I'll get into more details of that. But the scripture over in, I think it's Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 13 through 17, he says, "Suffer not little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Actually, Matthew's the 19th chapter, verses 13 through 15. But the age of accountability is over in the book of Leviticus. I'll find it and have it for you guys next week. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, you are royalty family. Hopefully something you've been blessed.